Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for many people, the time of Christmas is a time of family. Many of us do what we can to be with family at Christmas or near Christmas. And even when that isn't possible, family tends to be on our minds at Christmas. And in a way, the same was true of the first Christmas. It was about family. And specifically, it was about God reaching out to bring us into his family. Over the last couple Wednesday evenings, we've heard John describe the incarnation of Christ as the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and as the true light shining into our darkness. Tonight, we hear John build on what he has said by making clear that this living Word and true light that he has been speaking about was, in fact, the very Son of God. John said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so the glory of Christmas is the glory of God's only Son coming to us. And why was this Son coming to us? Why was the eternal Son of God becoming man? It was for us and for our salvation. The Son was coming to bring us into his Father's family. Paul puts it this way in our epistle reading. "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Apart from Christ, in our natural fallen condition, we were estranged from God. We were not children of God, rather we were slaves to sin. And we were living not in God's household as part of God's family, but we were living in the dominion of darkness. But because the Lord our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, he was not content to leave us in that lost state. And so God sent forth his Son to redeem us, to pay our redemption price, the price for our freedom. And what was the price that the Son would pay? As we read in 1 Peter, we were redeemed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Christ came to redeem us with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And it was for that very purpose, so that he could shed his blood for us, that the Son of God took on flesh and blood for us. He joined us in our humanity so that he could die for all humanity. He was born for us so that he could die for us. And what does his redeeming death now mean for us? By paying our redemption price, the Son has set us free. And as we're told in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free to live in the liberty of God's amazing grace. Free to live as members of God's household, his family. Free to be children of God, children not by nature, but by grace. Children in God's family, not because we naturally belong there, but because God has reached out and graciously taken us in to his household. Listen once more to what Paul said about why Jesus came, why God sent his Son to us. Paul writes, "God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ alone is God's Son by his very nature. He is the only begotten Son of God. And that only begotten Son came so that we could become God's children by adoption. In our reading from Galatians, Paul also then goes on to describe how we personally are brought into God's family and come to know God as our Father, saying, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so here we see that it is the Holy Spirit who moves our hearts to know and call upon God as our own dear Father. Putting this together, you could say that our adoption papers are signed by God the Father, sealed in Jesus' blood, and delivered to us, delivered to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in holy baptism and brings us into God's family. So Christ came to bring us into God's family, and now all who receive him by faith are indeed members of that family, children of God, not because of anything they have done, but by God's grace alone. John makes that same point in our gospel reading tonight as he says of Christ, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So in today's scripture readings, we hear both Paul and John assuring us that through Christ, we have been brought into God's family, and we are now God's beloved children. And Paul describes this by saying that we've been adopted into God's family. John describes it by saying that we've been given new birth or born again into God's family. But whichever way you describe it, by saying that we're adopted or by saying that we were born again, either way, the point is the same. The point is that we have been given a brand new life as God's beloved children. And that this life is not something of our own doing, but is purely a gift of our all-gracious God. After all, what child can take credit for being born or for being adopted? Life in God's family is not something we achieve. It is a gift that we receive. And what does this new status as being God's children now mean for us? It means that we have the comfort of knowing that we have a Father who loves us with a perfect, forgiving, steadfast love. A Father who does not give up on us, but who gladly welcomes prodigal sons and daughters and throws his arms around them. A father who tenderly invites us to come to him and speak to him in prayer, and who can be trusted to answer our prayers in the way that is best for us. A father who has places prepared especially for us in his eternal home. An inheritance for us in his kingdom that will never perish, spoil, or fade. It also means that we who have God as our Father also have each other as brothers and sisters in his family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And it means that for all who are in Christ, the time of Christmas is indeed a time of family. It is a time in which we find our warmth and the love of a perfect heavenly Father, who so loved us that he gave his only Son for us, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For the gift of this child who was born to us, the son who has been given to us, to be our brother and our redeemer. May our gracious God and Father be praised throughout the season and forevermore. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.